Is Venezuela starting to default on its debt? And businesses rethink their connections to Myanmar.
It goes without saying that there is concern with having your name associated with a country that is possibly engaged in genocide.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Venezuela owes investors $150 billion. One credit agency now says the country is in selective default. A group of investors met government officials in Caracas late Monday, but they didn't come away any wiser about the country's restructuring plans. Here's the BBC's Daniel Gallas.
About 100 investors were received by top Venezuelan officials in a ceremony in Caracas that included a red carpet, chocolate souvenirs, and a row of honor guards. They were hoping to gain some insight on Venezuela's plan to restructure $60 billion of bonds it needs to pay in the coming months. But many complained after the meeting that the Venezuelan government failed to provide a plan for restructuring its debt. Markets believe the Venezuelan government may soon enter a default, despite a promise by President Maduro to honor all of the country's debts. In São Paulo, I'm the BBC's Daniel Gallas for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets in Asia and Europe are mixed. Shanghai's main index closed down 29 points, or 0.7%. London's FTSE is up 0.1%. The pound has fallen against the dollar after data on prices in the UK disappointed investors. Now, Greenpeace activists are taking the Norwegian government to court today to stop Arctic oil drilling, and they're using Norway's constitution, not tax or regulatory law, to argue their case. Catherine Binet, Associate Professor of Energy Law at the University of Oslo, told me more.
They are attacking the decision to award production licenses under two grounds. First, that it is contrary to the new provision of the Norwegian constitution, the environment provision that has been revised in 2014. And they are attacking as well the impact assessment in general for making that decision.
So what is the principle they feel is being violated?
That the environmental consequences of opening new areas, awarding new production licenses up north, is against that principle defined in the Constitution, that we should take care of future generations and limit the environmental consequences.
What are the implications of this suit? Could it set a precedent of any kind?
I think that would they win or not, that will have a consequence for a climate policy in Norway, but for environmental policy in general. Because here we are attacking really the processes for awarding permits. So we'll have, in any case, consequence. Authorities will be more careful when awarding permits or licenses in general. The second one, with yes, it will have a consequence in terms of, do we integrate enough climate change as a risk in decision-making processes? So it could as well have an impact on other cases abroad.
Professor Catherine Binet. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is in Myanmar on Wednesday as calls grow for an independent investigation into human rights abuses and some in Congress call for sanctions. More than 600,000 Rohingya Muslims have been forced out of Myanmar in recent months. The BBC's Faria Masood reports on the international businesses involved in the Rohingya homeland.
Rohingya refugees are arriving in Bangladesh from severe ongoing conflict in Myanmar, specifically from its Rakhine state. That's the site of some very lucrative global investments. India has a multi-billion dollar transport hub there, and Rakhine state also sits on pipelines which access rich natural gas from the Bay of Bengal, pumped to China. US oil giant Chevron also operates in partnership with the government there, along with French oil giant Total. And that has really irritated one activist investor who handles some of Chevron's money. And after years of pestering them, Joshua Brockwell from Azard Investments finally got a conference call with Chevron. He spoke to me a few minutes after the call ended.
The call was a good one. We always feel like more can be done. I think it goes without saying that there is concern for business assets in the region, in country, as well as reputational risks that go along with having your name associated with a country that is possibly engaged in genocide or at the very least ethnic cleansing.
I asked Chevron for a response, and they provided this statement.
Chevron values the ongoing dialogue with the stockholders on this critical issue of violence in Rakhine State, Myanmar. We will continue to work with other US companies and the government to foster a business environment that respects human rights.
Bob Herrera Lim is a Southeast Asian financial analyst. He spoke to me from the Philippines.
So far, we haven't seen any significant pullout in investment. There will have to be improvements in governance and perceptions of Myanmar.
In the meantime, it falls upon Bangladesh, one of the poorest countries in the world, to continue sharing what little it has with the influx of refugees that continue to arrive day after day. In London, I'm the BBC's Faria Massoud for Marketplace.
Finally, if you've got a spare $30 million, head over to Geneva this morning, where one of the world's biggest diamonds goes under the hammer. It weighs a dazzling 163 carats. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.